Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart.
Sunny day. I understand there's actually very, very low humidity. I guess after this, after my broadcast, I will actually get out of my house and breathe. But anyway, yes. I love to talk about food. Bacon and beer. We're having a festival coming up here in Queens, New York City at the USTA. And we're having, right now, we're having Kate Levenstein, who is a big foodie, who has organized this. And she's going to tell us all about this. I want to hear. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Merle. How are you?
Oh, fine. Bacon.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I'm sorry?
I said, can you hear me okay? That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Perfect. Yeah, so bacon and beer. Let's talk about
it. Well, yes. First of all, why that combination?
Well, I was living in Chicago, and I was planning events for another company, and I thought, I was at breakfast, actually, and I saw a platter of bacon. It was a flight of bacon. And seeing a flight made me think of beer. And I thought, how cool would it be if all of the bacon was different dishes and then it was paired with different craft beers? And so we set up a dinner at a pop-up in a restaurant in Chicago, a breakfast place. And they were closed for dinner, so they were excited about it. And we sold out thousands of tickets to this dinner that paired all different kinds of food and beer together that had bacon in it. And so it was really unique. Bacon's special because you can combine it with anything. It can be sweet, it can be savory. You can eat it on its own, you can eat it as a topping. It's in a lot of different ethnicities, you know, foods from different countries around the world. And so it has a really interesting, it's just an interesting food to use, and chefs can get really creative with it. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then I wanted to host it inside of sports stadiums because I thought it was like the craft version of the footlong and the tall boy that you would get at a baseball game.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is, first of all, let us talk about your background. What do you have?
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll just jump right in. So I I'm from New Jersey originally, and ended up going out to Wisconsin undergrad and landed a job at the Oprah Winfrey Show in Chicago. So I ended up staying out in the Midwest for a few years. And when her show ended, I decided to go backpacking in Southeast Asia, and I didn't know what I wanted to do next because where do you go after that? And I was a journalism and sociology major and thought maybe I would do something in the television space again, but a friend of mine reached out and said, hey, I have this great opportunity. He thought I was still living in Chicago, but I was in Vietnam at a at a very rundown, you know, computer cafe, Wi-Fi cafe. And he said, I work for this startup and it was just acquired by Living Social, which was a big daily deal platform marketing site back in 2011. And so I ended up moving back from Vietnam back to Chicago and ended up running their live events team that Living Social had started internally. So we were throwing all different kinds of festivals and day trips and overnight trips. And I really was drawn to the festivals. So that's kind of how I got my start after 2.5 years there. Living Social decided to close its doors and I started Cannonball about a month later. So there's a lot more detail that can go into that, but that's the general gist. And at Living Social, I was 24. I did not know what I was doing. I've never professionally at that time had done anything in the sales industry, and it was basically selling events and conceptualizing different event concepts, you know, creating different event concepts for local Chicagoans. So we were running about 40 different concepts, like sunset kayaking and a food truck dinner with a fire pit and a craft beer, you know, tent on site. Or we would have like midnight snow tubing parties up in Wisconsin, and we would provide transportation and we'd have a DJ and fire pits and all of that. So we were doing 40 different ideas and different concepts a year, and we probably took about 100,000 people on these trips. So we had, I ended up having a staff of about 60 people just in Chicago that we were training and managing and, you know, recruiting and promoting and constantly having to manage, and then actually coming up with these concepts, selling in the vendors and putting, so that was, I loved that. And then in about the second or third year, we became more focused on festivals. And so I was producing the biggest and most profitable festival that Living Social had was at the Lincoln Park Zoo in downtown Chicago. And so we threw one night 10,000 people at the zoo. It was insane. And it made me see what the potential could be for another event like this in other cities around the country. But the one thing that was missing from that event was that there was no food included in the ticket. So people had to buy food from food trucks separately. And I really thought that not only was that not what I would want as a consumer, but I also thought that we could integrate and make the food really creative and make the chefs really involved in the event itself. So that was what I had pitched to Living Social. I actually pitched them on the Bacon and Beer Classic, and they told me to go do some research and get back to them with, you know, just a competitive. Did that, and I knew what was out there, and it wasn't very much. And so I, the next week, was laid off and had this idea and decided to run with it. So that was really how that, my background, at least, wasn't, you know, a huge part of how I got started.
Well, why did you, I mean, first of all, tell us what exactly will be happening at the festival.
Sure. So you, as an attendee, you buy a ticket in advance, and you walk in, and you get a 5-ounce ceramic, like a glass solo cup, and you get to walk around. In New York, there are about 50 to 60 different restaurants there, and about 100 different breweries. And so you get to walk around and eat and drink as much as you want. So you go around and get your solo cup filled up as much as you you want with a bunch of different craft beers from each brewery. And then we've got a bunch of partners and brands on site who are have everything from different music stations and a roaming brass band and inflatable bungee runs. And so you're never bored. You can make your own pretzel necklaces. We have a branding tattoo station where you can put on temporary tattoos. We have a bacon eating contest that the winner could win a year supply of Hormel Black Label bacon. So that's always quite a sight in the middle of the event. And the restaurants the contest, eat everything from. Go ahead.
Is it the contest? Is it going to be how fast or how much?
So everybody gets, good question, very good question. So everybody gets a pound of cooked bacon, and it's how whoever can eat that the fastest, which is about 15 strips.
Okay.
And we've made the mistake, Merle, of having it, of not saying whether it was supposed to be a pound of cooked or uncooked bacon. And if you weigh bacon after it's been cooked, it's a lot more because the grease, the fat has been cooked
right
out of it. So one year we didn't specify that to the chef who was cooking it, and I think they brought out like 50 pieces of bacon. And these poor people were like looking up at us like, are you kidding me? How much more do you expect us to eat? And we just did not. This was in year one. We didn't know. It was we had to cut it off, I think. I think one person might have finished it, but it was just painful to watch at that point. But, yeah, so we know that the sweet spot is a pound of bacon, uncooked, and then it gets cooked, obviously, but we made it beforehand. And then it's about 5 or 6 different participants for the championship, which is either black label bacon. And so the other funny learnings that we've had over the years is that first year I didn't want to have bacon strips on site because I pictured bacon strips just being greasy and kind of bringing the festival, the energy down. Like I'd been to a bacon festival where it was in a parking lot and it was just like people walking around with like greasy, cheap looking strips. And it was kind of gross, honestly. And I didn't want to take away from the culinary aspects that we were trying to, you know, exude at this event. And so people, the feedback immediately was like, where are the bacon strips? I'm going to this bacon festival and there are no strips. So we immediately started working with Hormel, who's been a fantastic partner, and they have this higher end bacon called Black Label Bacon. And they have all different flavors, so jalapeno and maple black pepper and brown sugar, maple brown sugar. They've just got tons of different flavors. And we get to supply all of these different flavors for people to taste different kinds of bacon and pork belly that they supply and fully cooked bacon, which is microwavable bacon. They've got so many different flavors. And it's really, that's what the festival is all about, is tasting different flavors and exploring letting your taste buds explore everything that's out there with bacon. So the chefs get really creative. They make everything from bacon bun, you know, pork belly bun knees. And I just was at a restaurant yesterday that is serving fried cavatappi with bacon broth and bacon like crumbled.
I think I lost you.
You know, mom and pop shop to making like a really awesome comfort, like bacon mac and cheese. Then we've got nitrogen, you know, ice cream and which is delicious, actually. Bacon tacos. You name it. We've had everybody come up with pretty much everything. One of the best things we've had is bacon Brussels sprout grilled cheese sandwich.
So, in terms of the restaurants, by the way, sometimes I'm not hearing you. I don't hear you now. I still don't hear you. Nope, not yet. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on. Probably talking to me, and I'm not hearing you talking. But when you do hear me, I guess you have to go into a spot that works. You must be on a cell phone. That's what happens with the cell phones all the time. And then, I don't know, I guess I'm not sure whether I should go into a commercial or not at this point. Let's see. Okay. Hopefully you'll call me back. I might as well talk about, I'd have a commercial on my favorite brownies. while you're trying to.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yes, and you can get these fabulous brownies at www.brownies.com. I think we have Kate back with us. Let's click it on here. Kate, you're back.
Sorry
are
about
you?
That, Merle. I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
Okay.
So you got the gist. So I think you got the gist.
Well, in terms of the restaurants that are cooking up, in other words, these restaurants are going to be making dishes that have bacon in them.
Yes. Yeah. So, did I lose you before I started going down that path? So restaurants. Okay. So we have restaurants restaurants come up with the most incredible creations. We've had restaurants make everything from bacon ice cream and bacon churros, like dipped in chocolate with bacon sauce on it, and bacon crumbles on top. We've had like the Girl Scout cookies, like bacon Samoas, like with caramel and crunch. Then it can turn into like a bacon sushi, bacon. One of my favorites has been a bacon ramen burger, which is ramen noodles as a bun. And then they have bacon and pork belly inside with the burger, with an incredible like fish sauce that they make. So they get creative. We have a lot of like just bacon, the comfort foods like bacon mac and cheese and bacon mashed potatoes. One of the best things we have is a bacon Brussels sprout grilled cheese sandwich. And that was at our Minneapolis event last month. So people just come up with the most creative things that get to showcase them as chefs. Sometimes it's not even something from their menu. It's just something that they're excited. And then it's so popular that they end up putting it on their menu. So they get to test out new ideas.
Wow. Actually, the funny thing is I was telling my friends that I can't have bacon in the house because I tend to do this thing where I take the bacon, I go, oh, all right, 2-3 strips. No, that's not going to be enough. No, well, and it's like a pound of bacon will go too quickly, and the problem is due to the salt content, I'm not supposed to be eating bacon in the first place, but I absolutely love the bacon, and I have to tell you. And the funny thing is, it happens to be, in terms of my past with bacon, my mother had a basically kosher home, and I was like really, really skinny, and the doctor told my mother, well, this is what I understood. The doctor told my mother that I had to have bacon. So my mother got bacon, and I would eat the bacon, and I, oh, this is so delicious, you know, got to be more than delicious. But, which also reminds me, are they going to have any low-salt bacon?
They've got low-salt bacon. They have low sodium. It exists.
Oh, okay.
And turkey bacon is great. Turkey bacon is better, I think, from a sodium standpoint. But I need the number for that doctor who prescribed bacon. That's the best kind of doctor I've ever heard of.
Well, I guess that was supposed to be. I probably had a problem in, like, what I wanted to eat. I must have been a very picky eater, you know, and that was supposed to be something to fatten me up, you know. But unfortunately, now I became a big foodie.
Oh, No.
I think restaurants. But what I also wanted to ask. What I wanted to ask in terms of the restaurants, are any of the restaurants located in Queens?
So one of our longest-running restaurants that we work with is Queens Only, and they participate. We've got almost every restaurant.
I'm losing you again. I think I lost you again. Okay. You were starting to tell me about restaurant in Queens.
Say that again.
Okay, let's try it again. You were saying about, I asked you.
I'm here.
If there are any restaurants in Queens that are participating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I know off the top of my head. We haven't fully announced the restaurant list for this year, but I know Queens Bully is one that we
well,
location.
That didn't happen. Just as you started to say the restaurant, we went dead again. I didn't stop hearing you.
Oh, really? Seriously? Queens Bully. Queens Bully is a restaurant that we work with. Queens Bully. Yep, they participate every year. And I think they've won in years past. And they've participated at our whiskey festival as well. But they're a great partner of ours. And they also, we have Autumn Ellie's Meat Shop, which is, we work with the vendor out in Queens.
Okay.
Yeah, so we haven't fully announced this year's lineup yet. We're just finalizing it, and then it will go out to the public.
Okay, because then I'll be able to get that. Yeah, before I write the article, the more info. Now, I'm just curious why you chose the USTA for the locale.
So in years past, we had worked with City Field, the baseball stadium across the way. And we decided this year that we just needed, it was really the timing of it. We usually hosted it in late April, and it's tough with baseball season to not have it be in only in the spring. And the years past, it's been pretty chilly and also windy. And so this year we really wanted a different energy and vibe for the event. And so we looked across the street and found a really big open stadium floor plan. And so we're working with them, and it's going to be just differently structured. So we will have different villages and a beer garden because it's in the middle of Oktoberfest. Be a little bit of a different vibe, but we've been in Queens for the last 4 years and want to stay there.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Will the whole thing be taking place outdoors?
So it'll be outside, The stadium will be open too. So Arthur Ashe Stadium will be open for VIP. And then we're also working with different footprint of this stadium is just for VIP. So Court 17, which is one of their show courts, and Arthur Ashe will be for VIP. And then the rest of the whole area will be open, all of the practice courts. We're the first event like this to take over the USTA. It's pretty cool because it's their 50th anniversary. So they're celebrating that for the US Open, and we're celebrating the fact that we're the first festival of this kind to be there in 50 years. So we're excited for that.
Oh, that's great. Okay,
yeah.
So what's the cost?
So they started if you bought earlier on, they were a little bit less expensive, so you have to buy it early. But I think they're at about $65 or $70 a ticket. I can actually check right now. Don't quote me. So they go up as we get closer to the event, and that's how our tickets are structured. But we have three different ticket types. So we have an early access ticket, which gets you in an hour early. It's called a power hour ticket. And then we have a VIP ticket, which gets you a ton of extra perks, extra drinks, a lot of extra food. Down on those two courts that I was talking about for different photo ops and seating and, you know, all of, you know, specialty treatment, basically, seating in those bowls. And an hour early access as well. And then general admission tickets, which gets you 3 hours of all-inclusive bacon and beer. So you can't go wrong with any of the ticket types. And they're available on our website, which is baconandbeerclassic.com.
Okay. Wow. This is.
And we do this around the country. So we do this in about 8 cities around the country in different stadiums. So we're really looking forward to being back in New York. And then we'll be in Chicago and San Francisco after that. And that'll end our year.
Wow. This is going to be quite interesting. I'm hoping to attend.
You should better be there. I'm gonna take you around myself. I would love for you to attend.
Okay.
And we'll fill you up on Sunday.
I will go. I'll save up my sodium content.
I used to call myself, I was a vegetarian growing up, and now we call ourselves bacontarians. So we're bacontarians. I can't have it in the house because I'll eat it all too. It's too good.
I understand. There's something about between the smokiness, I think, the crunchiness.
The smell.
Do you like your bacon well done?
I like it well done. Pretty crispy.
Yeah, me too. I like to. It's that.
I like it a little fatty, like you know that it's still bacon.
Yeah,
and I don't
just
want it
like
to be like cardboard.
A little bit, not totally well done. Just that little
bit
of fat that still crunches.
Exactly. Oh, you're making me want it right now.
I know. I really do understand.
It's so good. I think that's everybody's problem, because who doesn't love bacon? It's hard to find people who don't like bacon. I think that's the other magic secret of this whole thing, is everybody loves it.
Are you going to have, what's that guy, Simon, the one that's on the Chew, who says everything is great
with bacon.
Yes.
We should get him on board. Maybe he could be a judge. you should bring a friend or two. You should come and let them enjoy it.
Well, I could certainly judge if you're doing anything.
Do you drink beer?
I've done enough. Huh?
Do you drink beer?
I drink beer. In other words, if somebody said, can you do a beer tasting, I could do a beer tasting. I can't, like, in other words, I won't be able to tell notes of it or things like that, but I have done beer tastings and flights. And
okay.
But it's the sense of, I go for, it's like a combination of the taste and also what I like. If I'm having a beer, my tendency is to have Blue Moon.
Yeah, I like that too. It's a Belgian wheat.
Yes,
I like
just
Belgian wheat.
Love the flavor with the orange in it. It just,
me too.
You know.
Me too. You should try one called Allagash White if you haven't tried that. Allagash White.
Oh,
it's really good. I like Belgian wheats a lot, too. And that's what a Blue Moon is. Anytime you see Belgian wheat or, like, wit.
I think I've got... Oh, you know which one is that I've had, and I can't think of. This is beer. It's a Belgian beer that's served in this special long, tall, not a glass. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, it's not
It's this tall, bulb-shaped glass. In other words, it's long, and at the bottom there's a bulb, I guess. And it's a Belgian beer. I have to take a look on it. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What did you say wit?
Whitmer, Belgian white.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's Whit. I have to take a look. I did, I tried, I was on a press trip, and I tried it one place. And
you liked it.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, the beer itself is delicious, and it's not the most common one to have because I think you could only, it's not, it has to be, what do you call it? I don't want to say fresh. It has to come from, it has to be, you know, on a, as a draft beer.
Right. It has to be, yeah, it's not going to come in a bottle. There's also like a Saison, which I really like too, like a Saison beer, and that's really special, and that comes in a special glass too. Like a triple Carmelite, which is like really high alcohol content. You only need one of those. You need one of those, and you'll be set to go on your way.
Yeah, that's definitely not my style. Or as I say, I get drunk on Scotch tape.
Oh, I know that. I don't need very much. I don't have a very high tolerance. One and done. I know.
Yeah.
I can't handle
cheap
it,
date, as they call me.
Yeah, exactly.
But well, I have to say, I'm really looking forward to this. And
me too.
And
thank
you
so
know,
much
as
for
you're
chatting.
Very welcome. It's absolutely been a pleasure, and now I have to go take a napkin and wipe the drool coming from the side of my mouth.
Oh my gosh. Well, I will follow up with a restaurant list, and you're too funny. This is such a pleasure. And if you have any other questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me or Marie.
Okay, I certainly will.
All right. Well,
thanks.
See you in September, Merle.
Okay. Isn't that a song?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yes. Okay. Well, this will be an excellent event. I guess even like if for the price of like even $60, it's like, you know, basically all you can eat, all you could drink, and with all the entertainment, et cetera, that should be. I mean, that's not terribly expensive, but I'll get all the information, the other prices, et cetera. Well, I need to eat. I'm going to eat something now. Yes, and of course, there's my rubber chickens sleeping. Well, I think they are. Well, they're not going to. They don't really care about, you know, about having, you know, having any of this. I guess I was wrong. Really? Are you kidding? All right. I have a feeling they want to attend this event. All right. Well, I'm going to go back, guys, to sleep or whatever. All right. So until next time. Have a great, you know, day, evening, or whenever you're listening to this.